Moxley swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Acosta hooks it into the traffic, a three-header, and it's a goal! The United States has scored! Miles Robinson!
Viene Acosta, la sirve, arriba!
Well, how about that? The United States win two continental finals, capped with the Gold Cup on Sunday, with essentially a B team. What a win it was. What a competitive battle that was with Mexico. And we're going to talk about it, and we want you to join in tonight as well. The number to call in tonight, 512-447-3776, 512-447-3776. Is a number to call in, get your take on the Gold Cup, Austin FC, U.S. Women's National Team. We'll start it in this segment with the Gold Cup. How prideful was that for you as an American fan? And as always, the show is brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. So it was a night of passion. It was a night of pride. The United States, well, here's some names you need to remember. These were the starters: Matt Turner, Reggie Cannon, Paul Areola, Jozy Zardes, Miles Robinson, Matthew Hoppe, James Sands, Sebastian Legette, Eric Williamson, George Bello, Kellen Acosta, and so many others also contributing, coming on. Sam Vines came on in this game. Gianluca Busio came on in this game. Nicolas Giochini came on. Christian Roldan came on. Shaq Moore came on, Henry Kessler, all a part of this. Pretty incredible. The youth, the inexperience here. Six players in the U.S. men's national team starting 11 were 24 and younger. Bello, 19, Hoppe, 20, Sands, 21, Cannon, 23, Robinson and Eric Williamson, 24. So this was essentially a B team. Okay, I don't even like saying that, but it was. You did not have the likes of Christian Pulisic. You did not have Weston McKennie. You did not have Gio Reyna. You did not have Tyler Adams. You did not have Zach Steffen. We can go on. But what you did have was Miles Robinson, Matt Turner, Paul Areola, Kellen Acosta, James Sands. Who stood out to you in this game? Kellen Acosta was absolutely wonderful. And by the way, he had been kind of put out to the hinterlands when it comes to the U.S. men's national team. Had not been back in, I think, since 2017. Both him and Miles Robinson have been revived by Greg Berhalter. So Greg Berhalter achieves everything he wants here. And we got a lot of sound from Berhalter, which we're going to begin to play here in a minute. But Greg Berhalter made it very clear. We want to win the Gold Cup, but we also want to assess and evaluate players. Here's the manager, Greg Berhalter, on the Gold Cup, winning it and evaluating players.
You know, I think I've been consistent in saying that we want to win the Gold Cup. You know, from day one that we came in camp, that was our objective. That was the team's goal. And, you know, we thought we had enough quality in the squad to get it done. And, you know, it sometimes looks a little different, and sometimes the shape changes and the personnel change. But, you know, we have guys that are committed to winning and take great pride in when they step on the field to represent the country. So, you know, I think in terms of looking at it differently, I just think this was a great opportunity to evaluate guys in competitive games. And we certainly, have been able to do that in this tournament.
No question about it. And you got to say, guys like Miles Robinson, Matt Turner now, have moved way up the pecking order for Greg Berhalter now. So you won the Nations League. You won the Gold Cup. The United States men's national team in this tournament, 5 shutouts, no goals conceded during the run of play. They are the kings of CONCACAF now, simply based on results. Sorry, it's the way it works. But it was a team that lacked experience that lived up to it. The AP called this team a JV team, believe it or not. Warrior mentality, hard on their sleeves, never say die, young guys grabbing a hold of this. And in the 117th minute, you get a goal from Miles Robinson. The Acosta delivery was absolutely beautiful. Tata Martino was very, very aware of the U.S. on set pieces. Tata Martino also lamented the fact that Mexico did not score goals in the beginning. He's also conditioned it. He said, quote, "It's not a catastrophe losing this. There are lessons to be learned, as in any game. We circulated the ball well." But he knew very well the danger that the U.S. were on set pieces. And by the way, Alvarez committed the foul out wide. Acosta then, if you go back and look at that delivery, it's absolutely perfect. And Robinson climbs up. And the guy sprawled out on the ground at the end of the play after it's headed in past Talavera is Edson Alvarez, who committed the foul out wide. There's a little bit of irony in that. Matt Turner, you don't win this tournament without him in goal. And, I kind of compare him a little bit in some ways, his rise to Brad Stuver, who's doing so well and would be the MVP for Austin right now. I don't think there's any question. I think him and Alex Ring certainly leading the way. Diego Fagundes may be in there as well. But Matt Turner had 26 saves throughout this tournament. He had 5 shutouts. He wins the award as the best goalkeeper in the tournament. It's a remarkable story. And we're going to re-air his interview at the back end of this show tonight because I think it's fascinating to go back to listen to him in January when he was really getting his first involvement for the U.S. men's national team. And then to produce what is a career-defining moment and performance over the course of this Gold Cup. And he's pushing Brad Guzan out, and so is Ethan Horvath. And that's the beauty of these two tournaments. They have provided opportunities for others. And guess what? Not qualifying for the 2018 World Cup, as painful as it was, it only accelerated the process to getting the ship corrected, building out a base of more depth with the U.S. men's national team. Sure, the pandemic slowed it down. But it's pretty clear. You had to move on and you had to go forward. And it's always very difficult, as the U.S. women's national team is finding out, moving on historic players that have represented the national team. It's always tricky. And to be sure, with the U.S. women getting knocked out by Canada, you have to say, at the end of the day, you might have carried some players that didn't need to essentially be there this go-round. But that's a whole nother discussion, and we can get to that. It's big. You beat Mexico twice, it's big. I hear everybody trying to condition it. Well, certain guys from Mexico weren't there. Yep, certain guys weren't. But it was a more experienced Mexican team than it was a United States team. James Sands had some shaky moments against Qatar, had some shaky moments early against Funes Mori. Recovered. Fought his way through it. I love the fact that some of these guys were allowed and able under Greg Berhalter to fight their way through it. They're getting blooded. He stuck with them. He stuck with them through mistakes. And frankly, he knows, Greg Berhalter knows that there were going to be mistakes made in this tournament by younger players. But the fight, the pride, wow, pretty unbelievable. And remember the times when Mexico would play in tournaments and put a B team in the tournament. And we would all say to ourselves, wow, wouldn't it be nice one day to have that sort of depth where you could put a B team in a tournament and get them all that experience? Well, to some degree, that's what we just witnessed on Sunday night. And the depth for the United States soccer pool is unprecedented right now. It just grew exponentially after this Gold Cup. It wasn't perfect soccer. Aesthetically, it wasn't always great. But when you look at players like Matt Turner and Miles Robinson, Kellen Acosta, you're stretching this roster out now. Paul Areola was a beast, by the way, Sunday night, when it comes to the effort and the ethic. Absolute beast. Miles Robinson, positional play, composure, dominant in the air. And by the way, Funes Mori, who is a naturalized Argentine playing up front for Mexico, handful, dangerous striker. That's why Tata Martino got him there. Can't wait on Raul Jimenez forever. Probably not going to wait on Chicharito. That's why Tata Martino got him. Dangerous. And he turned Sands a couple times early, and you're at home, and your heart's dropping. But they fought through that. And Mexico did not produce during their best times in the beginning of the game. And the U.S. grew into the game more and got more comfortable. They're not in fear of Mexico, these guys. This base of younger guys I absolutely love. They want to make this their national team. They don't want to live in the past. They want to create new history for the national team. They're embracing it. You know, and this is without talking about Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Reyna, Adams. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to watch. It's prideful. Anybody who's been at a level of soccer, it doesn't matter what level. We've always been, in some ways, told we were inferior to Mexico. And I hope that edge never goes away. But that was a win. Boy, that was a prideful win if you are a U.S. soccer fan. And it was prideful to watch the way those guys performed, the way they carried themselves. Absolutely fantastic. You got a take? 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776 is the number. As usual, the great producer, John Reichel. And as always, the show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. So back to Miles Robinson. His composure and his mentality. Positional play. Ability to cover laterally as a center back. Fabulous. I think Funes Mori was trying to get away from him and was trying to work over James Sands. Extremely impressed with Miles Robinson, who, by the way, was not picked for the under-23 qualifying or was not released by Atlanta United. Maybe that's the better way to say it. So, a fantastic win and a great effort from the U.S. men's national team. Let's hear more from Greg Berhalter and the thought of how proud Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, was for the United States getting this win over Mexico.
When I look back on it, I'm most proud for the team, for the guys. You know, we were together for a month. And we just saw them growing. We saw the team growing. We saw individuals growing and improving. We saw the team chemistry growing. And, you know, before the final today, there was a feeling inside of me that I just wanted it so bad for them that they can taste this and they can win a trophy together. So, you know, really proud of the group, really proud of their resiliency. And, you know, when you look at the game today, we did not stop. It was relentless from us, and that was, you know, a mark of a good team.
Boy, was it. Unbelievable. I was at home and in awe of just the amount of shots Matthew Hoppe was taking, getting hit, getting up. There was no quitting these guys. The two big winners, I think, are Matt Turner and Miles Robinson, but there are other winners in this one, too. Kellen Acosta is. I think Reggie Cannon, when he came on, how can you not be confident with him? Fabulous. Zardes played well and fought. Matthew Hoppe probably has jumped up in the mind of some. Now, as you all know, Dusty Hill, the great bass player for ZZ Top, passed away. It's a bummer. Only 72 years old. Well, tonight we play all ZZ Top music on this show in honor of the great Dusty Hill, who's so synonymous with that little old band from Texas. Call in numbers 512-447-3776. It is Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. It is brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. John and his firm, they're going to take care of you. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. You want the best. You want John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com. John's a big fan of Austin FC. Been into Q2 Stadium. I know that. He was at the U.S. guitar match. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Austin FC. We can talk Gold Cup continued. Some women's national team as we move on here. As don't forget, it all starts to begin with the in-state rivalry matches on Wednesday. The Houston Dynamo will come to Q2 Stadium in Austin FC, and then Austin FC will take on Dallas on the weekend. So time for goals. Take a break. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They love the sport of soccer. They get us on the air here on the Horn. And a big thank you to them. Also to the Horn, because the Horn's into the game of soccer. And this is your soccer station in Austin, Texas. 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Support those that support the game. Support John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com. We're playing all ZZ Top music. The sad passing of bassist Dusty Hill. And they are so synonymous, that little old band from Texas, ZZ Top, with our state. All right, U.S. winning the Gold Cup. Let's hear from the very cultured defender. Had a great tournament, consistent, Miles Robinson.
Yeah, we're focusing a lot on set pieces. I know if I could get open, get a half step, I could finish one. And Kellen put a perfect ball in, so I had to finish it. My neck is a little bit sore, and I'm ready to celebrate.
There you go, Miles Robinson. What a tournament he had. Plays for Atlanta United. Had that 117th minute header, and that was the decider, the United States winning the Gold Cup. We'll take your calls tonight, 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. All right. Austin FC, well, it's tough right now. But help is on the way with Sebastian Druisi. Not sure if he's going to play on Wednesday. It's a possibility, I'm sure. He was at the last game. Austin FC, 3-8-4 on the year, 1-3-2 at home. Shutout 3 in a row. Shutout 5 of the 6 matches at Q2 and 10 times this season. If you don't think this is a concern and a problem for an organization that's been hitting it out of the park like crazy, you're crazy. But they know this. They're frustrated. The players are. They've played a lot of games that I have watched. I've watched every single game, and they have created chances. They have gotten into the final third. For whatever the reason it is, decision-making, movement, simply lack of finishing, personnel. Great saves, being unlucky. You know, we could go on and on and talk about why they're not scoring goals, confidence, all of these things. They had chances. Cecilio had chances. Jimenez had a long-range hit. Fagundes in the 56th, you know, had a shot that was cleared by Abubakar. 63rd-minute Pochettino from Cecilio was a wonderful chance. They had the chances. Josh Wolf is trying everything he possibly can. He's subtly changed the system. He's given different people opportunity. This game, it was Perez, Dominguez, Fagundes, Pochettino, and Redis. He's played Cecilio at the nine, which, you know, had him playing more with his back to goal. Rodney Redis hasn't produced. Gallagher and Stroud have a combination of two goals between them. All these guys have wonderful qualities, but maybe the real secret will be here. And Sebastian Druisi, who comes from Zenit St. Petersburg, designated player signing, real money. I think it was a $7 million transfer fee that's being reported. Scored 25 goals at Zenit. He's got 50-plus between Zenit and River Plate. So he's a guy that can come in and elevate things and platform this team. He can affect others around him. He's a guy that can run at defenses. He can break people down off the dribble. He's a goal threat from long range. Combination play, one-twos. So this guy is packing it all in his toolkit as an attacking player. And you never know. He could come in here, and the hope here is he's going to elevate everything, take it to another level, and goals will start flowing. That is the hope when you spend $7 million. Gite is coming as well. I think there's still problems getting his paperwork and things sorted out. And then Mackenzie Gaines is a local. But a lot of this is riding on Sebastian Druisi now. Now, that said, and all the goal-scoring problems, the beauty of Major League Soccer is this. You are never out of it. Austin FC is only 8 points out of a playoff spot. 8 points. The Houston Dynamo, who come in at 3-4-9 on 18 points, ninth place, have 9 draws. They're only 3 points out of a playoff spot. The Dynamo are 0-4-5 on the road, and the Dynamo will come in to Austin, thinking this is where we finally get our first road win. And it's a first ever meeting. And it's going to be a historic game because it's Austin FC against the Houston Dynamo. And it'll be a second game of 3 in 8 days for both these teams. But if you think of the Houston Dynamo, they're only 3 points out. Austin's only 8 points out with all the struggles. And having watched both these teams closely, there are some very similar things when it comes to having that singular fulcrum out of midfield. And I want to be careful here because I think Diego Fagundes does provide that jump start out of midfield, a guy that can run with the ball, a guy that can come late into the penalty area. I don't know if the Dynamo have that player right now. Austin FC does have Diego Fagundes. They do have his 3 goals. He does make the late runs. But you bring in now this Sebastian Druisi and others like Fagundes, Cecilio, Pochettino, Redis. There's more competition now. Not all these guys are going to be able to play together. It could jumpstart some things. There's no question. And I would almost guarantee it. For $7 million, it's not, hey, we're waiting for him to get adjusted to Major League Soccer. It's we need instant impact and we need it now. Yes, we have to be careful how we wade into the waters with a player of this value. But, look, you got to start scoring goals. It's tough. Gallagher, Stroud, Husen, Kakuta, Mane, Cecilio, Redis, Pochettino, Fagundes. Cecilio and Fagundes and Gallagher have 80 or 10 goals. 1 assist for Pochettino, no goals for Redis, 3 assists for Jared Stroud. You also have to say, look, it's on the players. And the team has played some very attractive soccer. They have gotten into the final third. Now, the area I think the Houston Dynamo are probably enhanced when it comes to Austin FC, they have shored things up defensively from last year. They're not going to be an easy team to break down. They got 2 center backs that are hitters, tacklers. Tim Parker, teenage Adebi, has come over from the Turkish First Division in a team called Malatyaspor. He 2 months ago played, maybe 2.5 months ago, played in a Turkish Superliga his last match, and it was against Galatasaray. So he's gone up against very athletic, very dangerous forwards in the Turkish Super League. He has shored this team up. So the team got exponentially better when Tim Parker came here. They rewarded him with a three-year contract when the new owner came in. And then they got Teenage Hedebi, who's a designated player. This is a much better defending. Houston was, it was easy to, it's like going through water. You could run through this team in their midfield last year, and then you're on top of their back four, and their back four had a lot of struggles last year. This is a very compact, a very tough team to break down. It is not going to be easy for Austin FC on Wednesday night. Stats in the Colorado game, 57% of the possession for Austin, 11 shots to 16 for Colorado, but two shots on goal. That's it. Can't score goals with two shots on goal. Not often. I can talk to Canada about that, who knocked out the women's national team. They only had one shot. Austin FC, good in possession, 485 total passes to 370, 83% passing accuracy, that's good, 18 crosses, and Brad Stuver again with five saves. Brad Stuver, team MVP right now. Ring, still doing it, Alex Ring. No question. You start scoring goals, and things will be different. But the fulcrum is coming in. It is Sebastian Druisi, and he's going to make others better. And he's a penetrator. He's a distributor. Whether it's a penetrator via the pass, it's a penetrator off the dribble, he's going to come in. He's going to provide what I believe are some things that are going to just move this team up the food chain here in Major League Soccer. Nobody likes to be in last place. Nobody likes to have only scored 10 goals. And you also want to reward your fans. And I guarantee you, every single player and coach on this team, everyone in the organization, they want to reward this great fan base who obviously is coming out to games. And, you know, in six games at home, has only seen their team score in one of them. So, tough thing to manage. The good news is Major League Soccer is very forgiving. This was a single table, you might be in real trouble. And I would say that for the Houston Dynamo as well. They got their challenges too, and they're hoping to make a move. There are rumors around Houston, a Panamanian playmaker, Adalberto Carrasquilla, who was playing in Spain, and he played in the Gold Cup with Panama. There's a potential of him maybe being signed in Houston. There's a lot of word out there. In fact, Tab Ramos, the head coach, has even mentioned that. Real Madrid once made a bid for him. They were bidding for him to play on Real Madrid B. But there you go. And you know what? In-state rivals, they may be the ticket for Austin FC. Playing Houston and Dallas this week, well, maybe that's what brings out the best in you. Maybe that brings out a barrage of goals. Who knows? Who knows? Brad Stuver said this, quote, "We have a lot of guys that are pissed off. A lot of our guys, they're hungry, they're determined, they're ready for the next challenge." Nick Lima's come back. So there are some good things coming. But Sebastian Druisi, that's the one to put a circle around. Let's see what is going to happen with that signing, because that is a big one. U.S. Women's National Team got knocked off by Canada. This was never a good tournament for the U.S. Women. They lost 1-0, 75th minute, Jesse Fleming from the penalty spot. It was a 62nd meeting all time for the U.S. and Canada. So what went wrong? Team's obviously very old. It's older. Differing lineups every game. Vlatko Andonovski, the head coach, we've had him on this show. But they were average. They were listless. They did not seem focused. There was too many things going on. My theory is that there's some players that are more focused on their individual things. I never hear enough support of the NWSL and teammates who are making $22,000 when it comes to the stars, some of the stars. Five different lineups in five games. Midfield was not dominant in this tournament. Even players like Abby Dalcomper, who's so well, such a good center back, great passer of the ball. Not the best tournaments. Attack was not cohesive. This game against Canada, you had Lloyd Press and Rapinoe, and then it came to Heath Morgan and Williams. There was a 60-minute change. It was almost like a line change. U.S. had more shots on goal, more shots, more corners. Just didn't feel it. So they'll play in the bronze medal match against Australia, and it's gold for either Canada or Sweden. And frankly, the U.S. got very lucky against the Netherlands, who, in my opinion, played the better soccer. So, the world's game on the women's side, it's improving. It's no question. Lissa Nair, by the way, went off in the 30th minute with a knee injury. Adie French came on, who played at Oklahoma State in college. But it's a challenge. Now, if everybody's going to bag on the coach Flatko Andonovsky, because nobody's safe now, especially when the bar is raised as high as it always is for the U.S. women's national team. Just remember, the big star players on the U.S. women's national team definitely had a say in who was going to be the next coach after Jill Ellis. So just remember that when you, if you decide to focus and put the blame solely on a coach, which it never is, it's generally somewhere in the middle, some percentage either way, unless the coach is just a total nutcase, and we know Vlatko Andonovsky is not. All right, more ZZ Top here, more honoring the great Dusty Hill who passed. Austin FC, Houston Dynamo, it's Wednesday night. Dynamo ninth in the West, Austin FC at the bottom. Houston comes in at 3-4-9, Austin FC at 3-8-4 on 13 points. Austin FC. So, who knows? Your rivals could bring the best out of you. You got two of them. You got Houston and FC Dallas next. I think the fans are going to be up for it. The players will be. I think Wednesday night will be very, very special. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. I'm going to re-air in the next segment that interview I talked to you about with Matt Turner. Now, this comes from back in January. Presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. John is from personal injury attorneys. They are bilingual. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. A big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Matt Turner, U.S. Men's National Team goalkeeper, wins the Goalkeeper of the Tournament Award at the CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Acosta hooks it into the traffic, a free header, and it's a goal! The United States has scored! Miles Robinson!
Final segment of tonight on the Horn here in Austin, Texas, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Again, it's DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm bringing you soccer on the airwaves here in Austin, Texas. Of course, he's been at Austin FC games. He was at the recent U.S. Qatar match in the Gold Cup. And there's a good chance we'll be there on Wednesday night. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. Now, our final interview of the night is a re-air from back in January. This is when Matt Turner was really getting an opportunity to play for the U.S. national team. Well, we all know what he just did in the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup. He won the Best Goalkeeper Award. The 27-year-old appeared in six matches for the United States, including yesterday's huge win over Mexico 1-0. It was a fish shutout for him in the tournament. He had 26 saves throughout this tournament, allowing only one goal, and is a member of the New England Revolution. Good time to look back at this interview from January with U.S. National Team goalkeeper Matt Turner, who right now has really put himself into the big picture for the U.S. men under Greg Berhalter. Well, Matt, first thing I would just say is give us the overall impressions of kind of what the camp has been like under Greg Berhalter ahead of Sunday's game against Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, I think this camp's been great. A really unique opportunity for us senior players to be in the same room as the, you know, under 23 players, and a bunch of new faces learning a system together and sort of being able to bounce ideas off each other. And I'm sure a lot of the senior guys see themselves in some of the younger ones. So I think it was a pretty special experience for a lot of guys. And I know we worked really hard and we're looking forward to the game.
All right. Let me talk specifically about you positionally and where you are, because I always find it interesting. A goalkeeper like you, you've got a goalkeeper coach in New England, Kevin Hitchcock. You come into camp with Aaron Hyde now, who's the U.S. goalkeeper coach. Did those two confer maybe before you come into camp? And they may have different ideas on goalkeeping, even technically maybe. That does that cause any sort of problems? How does that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it causes problems. And no, I'm not sure they're really working together too much. But at the end of the day, there's a style of play we play over in New England, and that's Kevin's job to get me ready for. And there's a style of play here with the U.S. men's national team that it's Aaron's job to get me ready to play for. So I have to have an open mind. I have to be able to flip switches on and off and understand systems and be able to, you know, answer the bell when my name is called. So it's definitely a unique challenge, and it challenges me mentally, tactically, physically. And I've really enjoyed it so far. I'm learning a lot more about the game and the different ways to approach it. And I think that will just help me to become a more well-rounded goalkeeper.
Talking to Matt Turner, goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team, New England Revolution. Maybe something specific from each guy that might be a little different that you've learned that might make it interesting for some of those in the goalkeeping union that might be listening in tonight.
Yeah, I'd say from Kevin in New England, he's really helped me a ton with the mental side of the game. He played 100 games for Chelsea in the Premier League. He coached at Manchester City, coached at Brad Friedel at Blackburn Rovers. So he's really helped me with my approach every single day in training mentally, and then my approach mentally in games. From his perspective, he likes games where he doesn't even notice that I'm there. That's what he, you know, would classify as a successful goalkeeper or a successful game for a goalkeeper. The games where his name's not called very much, he makes things look routine and easy, and occasionally makes a big save. And here, you know, you're kind of the director of traffic in a lot of ways in possession. So making the right decisions, looking for ways to fool the defense and break lines and advance the attack up the field and set our guys up the field for better scoring opportunities. So a lot more of like a first line of attack approach, and also always staying connected to your back line and trying to be an option, you know, in build up and also help defend the space behind and be a bit of a sweeper keeper.
Yeah, how much of that has changed in your career? And obviously with the changes in the rules on goal kicks, it does put a little bit more pressure on everybody to be better and play with their feet.
For sure. I always mess around with some of my teammates and say that, oh man, if this was 15 years ago, I'd be playing in the Premier League, but as a joke, obviously. I know that that's an area of my game that I have to make still a lot of improvements on, and I've been working really hard at it. I think, you know, now technically I'm getting a lot better. It's about reading situations and being able to make the right decisions, and not just a good decision, but the best decision. So there's probably three or four decisions that might present themselves. It's like those SAT tests. You got to choose the best one. So learning as we go in that sense, it's a trial and error basis. So there might be some learning curves along the way, which I understand. And it's just about having an open mind and every day being a sponge, learning as much as you can. Like you might have an off day of training, but that's where you got to make a lot of your learning. There's tons of teachable moments in there. And so all you can do is the next day, try to learn from your mistakes and get back to it the next day.
Talking to Matt Turner, goalkeeper for the New England Revolution, U.S. men's national team. We're really pleased to have him here on Soccer Matters ESPN. You know, you kind of just talked about the trials and tribulations, and it's a daily thing, and you're learning from things. I mean, it's an exercise in patience, too, for a lot of goalkeepers who have gone on, like yourself now, to kind of emerge. You know, a couple years ago, you were a third-string goalkeeper. We all know the story of Tim Melia and Sporting Kansas City, Joe Willis, who finally became a starter in Houston and now with Nashville. You goalkeepers have to have a level of patience, and, boy, you have to be ready-made for when that opportunity comes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's something that one of my first goalkeeper coaches, you know, ever told me at Fairfield when it was, you know, coming time for me to make a decision on whether to become a professional or not. He sort of guided me and said, look, it's not going to happen for you overnight. You know, you have to understand that some of the best goalkeepers of the world are over 30 and they're entering their prime at those ages. So, you have to understand that there's going to be those trials and tribulations. You're going to have to go through ups and downs. You're going to have to go on loan and play games and do things to, you know, sort of make it happen for yourself. And, you know, soccer takes you where it wants to take you. You just have to always be ready for those hills and valleys. And I think to be able to level those hills and valleys off is something that a guy like Joe Willis, a guy like Tim Melia, they've done those things really, really well in the course of their careers and found themselves making a pretty dang good career out of it.
Matt Turner helped lead the Revolution to the Eastern Conference Final this year. Tremendous playoff run. What a ride that was, as you had mentioned. Your first opportunity in New England was with Brad Friedel. What do you take away from him when he was working with you as a goalkeeper coach? I know he was the head coach of the team, but I'm sure he imparted a few lines of wisdom on you.
For sure, for sure. He always said that goalkeeping is, jokingly, that goalkeeper is the easiest position in the world. All you got to do is keep the ball out of the net. And he of all people, understands that. It's a little bit more than that, but he definitely helped me in a lot of ways. He challenged me mentally. How can I affect the game in ways, instead of being so passive in certain moments, coming off my line a little bit more. But overall, I think the biggest thing that I'll take away from my time with Brad is something he said to me about failure and making mistakes. And he said that if you look around the world, all the best goalkeepers, all the top goalkeepers, they make mistakes. He said it a little more harshly than that, but with a little more foul language. But, you know, the point stood. Everybody messes up, but the what separates, you know, the great ones from the good ones, is that they just put that in the past and they move on, and they don't let that affect three or four actions after that. Because as a goalkeeper, you might get 40 actions in a game. And if you let, you know, one mistake carry on through, you know, 10 actions, you know, that's like a whole quarter of the game where you're just not in it mentally. So to be able to put mistakes behind you, understanding that everybody does it, and the best ones are the ones that can move on from it faster, was definitely a huge piece of advice that he gave me.
So World Cup 2010, I know, was a big inspiration for you. And here you are 11 years later, and you're wearing the U.S. men's national team uniform. You're getting prepared to play Trinidad and Tobago. That's a pretty quick 11 years. You know, as much as we say it's an exercise in patience, it is a pretty quick rise. You must be in the most confident place in your career right now.
Sure. I guess you could say that. 11 years, but you say it's a quick rise. I mean, the things that I've gone through in those 11 years are pretty significant. I've had some serious ups and I've had some really, really low lows. And I think for me, it's always trusting that this is what I want to do. This is my passion. Trusting my coaches, goalkeeper coaches, head coaches, coaches from the past, coaches in the future, you know, just always believing in their advice and the wisdom, because I always knew that I was late to soccer. So I always knew that there's something I can learn from somebody who's seen the game more years than I have. And that helped me through these last 11 years. And, you know, hopefully I do get the chance to wear the crest and represent, you know, my country against Trinidad and Tobago on Sunday. That would be a dream come true. So, it's a quick 11 years, but I definitely seen some stuff over those 11 years that maybe not many goalkeepers would have gone through.
Matt, did you ever hit a point where you really questioned, you know, going forward with it? Was there ever absolutely. That deep of a valley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was times, you know, particularly my first year in New England where I just didn't know if it was all going to be worth it. I thought to myself, you know, this is, it was such a hard challenge physically. It was such a hard challenge mentally. You know, my goalkeeper coach at the time, he wouldn't even let me play with the rest of the team every day. It was just, okay, we finished with the goalkeeper specific work with Bobby Shuttleworth and Brad Knighton. And then he'd put me off to the side of the field with just him. And we just work on technique. And it was some of the hardest stuff I ever had to do, physically and mentally challenging. Cause I never got to, you know, feel like I could show the coaching staff what I could offer on the actual field. And I'm just thinking, you know what, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it? And I kind of had a conversation with my goalkeeper coach, Remy Roy, and said that I was, you know, feeling a little frustrated at the end of the season. And he just told me to trust him. He said he's seen goalkeepers. He knows, you know, he knows what he's doing. And I chose to trust him. And I'm sure not many people would choose to trust in a situation like that. They would make a big stink about things and want to just move somewhere else or go to a different team where they might get a different opportunity. And I stuck it out there in New England because he was the only guy that ever trusted in me to begin with, to give me the opportunity to be a professional. So there's plenty of times where I thought maybe this wasn't for me. Down the stretch of my fourth year or halfway through 2019, I thought maybe, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. Even though I felt like I had already played and done well, I just didn't get the opportunity. I was back to being the third string at the beginning of 2019. And I thought, man, this feels like an impossible hill to climb. Again, you know, to have to do it once is one thing, but to have to do it again as the third string after being a starter the whole year prior, man, what's the point if I'm just going to end up back here again? So there've been some times where I thought maybe this wasn't for me, but at the end of the day, I always trusted that passion that was ignited in 2010. And I always thought about, you know, my reasons of why I love to play the game and why it was so unique compared to every other sport in this world.
And so you kept pulling yourself, you kept pulling back to that place
of
passion. By the way, a good shout out on the Fairfield University as well. Talking to Matt Turner, New England Revolution, U.S. men's national team. All of this said, Sunday is a big opportunity for up-and-comers, and we would even call you an up-and-comer in this camp as well, even though there's guys like Josie Altidore there. This is a big opportunity to perform live competition, Soka Warriors, in front of Greg Berhalter and his staff. And I'm sure that clicks in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know last year I was really disappointed after January camp not to get the opportunity to show him what I could do on the field representing the United States men's national team. So, yeah, any day you step out on the training field and you're wearing the crest, it's a huge opportunity. And you need to take it as such. You need to have that intensity, that bite. And what makes Americans – American, you have to find that in you and use that to drive you forward and know that you're representing and you're a part of something much, much bigger than yourself with much more history in this game, in this world. And I'm definitely looking forward to the opportunity that presents itself. Hopefully, like I said, I'm on that team sheet and we can right some wrongs. Obviously, we know the history between us and Trinidad and Tobago. And I think guys are not taking this game lightly at all.
Before we let you go, Matt, and again, we wish you the best of luck against Trinidad and Tobago and really appreciate your time. This has really been heartfelt, too. And I think for young goalkeepers and goalkeepers in the game at differing levels, this is a very inspirational interview as well. Last thing, and I promise to ask you, okay, your favorite band as we close out this interview.
My favorite band, man, I could go a lot of ways. I'm a big fan of lots of different types of music. But I definitely got into Motley Crue in the last few years. So I'm big into them. And I was really disappointed when their tour got postponed because they were coming to Fenway Park in Boston. So would have been dope to be able to see them out there. But and I had the weekend off, so it would have been I would have really been able to enjoy it.
I wasn't ready for Motley Crue, I'm going to tell you. I was thinking maybe some classic rock. You know, I know you're an East Coast guy. So yeah. Anyway, that's a great one. Thanks for making us all laugh and smile at the end here. Best of luck again against Trinidad and Tobago, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. What a performance from Matt Turner. Really interesting to listen to that interview again from January. And, of course, I kind of compare it and contrast it to Brad Stuver, who has just been outstanding for Austin FC and has been lights out in goal. And hopefully for Austin FC fans, he'll do the same thing on Wednesday against the Houston Dynamo. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, Instagram Glenn Davis Sock. A reminder that our supporting and presenting sponsor, he is a big one. He is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. They will work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You got to get the best. If you get in an accident, it may be car, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Get John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are supporters of your game. They are supporters of soccer. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. On behalf of producer John Reichel, I'm Glenn Davis. And remember, on behalf of the firm, soccer matters.